This is Jimmy Alexander from Grayling telling the story Wolf and Otter and the story Little Hawk. He is telling the stories in Hullikachuk and gives an English translation. After Jimmy's stories, Wilbert Nicholas tells a Grayling in the past, present, and future. He also talks about the masked dance in English. It is April 16th, 1973.
Tell me your name.
Jimmy Alexander.
Where are you from, Jimmy?
Grayling. Grayling.
And where before that?
Hullikachuk.
Did you live in Hullikachuk all your life?
Mm-hmm. I live in Hullikachuk.
And what story are you going to tell? What is the name of the story you're going to tell?
It's about the story about a wolf and an otter. Meet together.
Okay.
Okay. Kai. I thought that when I thought that. And it and the gentle and it. Karian han nei chael get an te and it and then this is an nei this center hub the negiltigel sisiltigel kun havia Nicholas. No, tennis. The man is a car, not yes. The gun go on, Gasson. Gasson go go. Tat and. Was over sorry, the car cassis. Sorry, tail and cosnata. It does. Dear Nady is a never done, never get on. Then I'm gonna be gone. Nay, no, Helen, Nady. Cotton miner and in the desert. Get lost in there. I didn't understand that question, didn't I? There's a hill. At the end of the day, there's a hill like that. I really like that question. I'm going to be there. That's all I know. Because this wolf, the Mrs. Ada, and invite him. The archer go home with that wolf. And he cooks some meat. My, he's hungry. He spins both sides. A fire in the middle of the eagle house, hole up there. Get fire in there. Get pins both sides, and this one was in this side. Archer was in this side, and him was this side.
Potter on the left and the wolf on the right.
Mm. So he cook all that, what he bring in. He eat and eat. And never gave nothing to his friend. My. His lips get this thick. He gets so hungry watching that one. The next day I tell him to go home with him. And they go home with him and they come into the river. And a little slow he stops and get the house in there. And then he got the pins outdoors, it's full of fish. His archer is eating all the fish, no meat. So he brings them fish and he cooks them. Then they started eating. And his friend, he tell him, they gave me some little bit. And yesterday, see my lips thick and candy. And that wolf is a fire in there. And you got a wolf in the boat, you know. Getting closer and closer. Pretty soon it's been a little bit around. And that wolf is that way, kind of funny color around there.
Around his knees?
Mm-hmm. It's like that, burn a little bit at him. And that's what it says. He gets so hungry eating his friend eating. He getting close, he didn't know it. While he's watching it. Well, that's Alex.
Who taught you that story?
My grandma.
What was her name?
Well, the guy. I was too small, I was not big enough.
You remember your grandmother's name?
No. I don't know his name.
Where was she from?
She's from Holgersak. That's where we stay all the time. So in the house, he's in the get healthy. And they got net fight. They got. And they got healthy. And the other light on the dogs. And the other that's That's all.
What's that story about?
This is a little hawk. There was no stick around, no. Nothing. You find a little sticker. Pretty good size and poke it. You put it up. Then they go on top and they stay in there. He said, I forgot that song. He started to sing some kind of song. The mouse come out. He didn't know what stuff. It's like some kind of big animal. It's like beaver. And there was a mouse. And he went dive down, close his eye, grab it, and go back up. Anything in this, and he misses it because he closed his eyes every time when he started to go. Started to dive down. The third time is this time I get him. You watch it, or you look where he goes straight for it, grab it. And that's where I have his breakfast. There was a mouse. Look big time though.
Who taught you that story?
That's my camera. Only my camera.
Grayling is a new village established in 1963. It consists of all the people that used to live in Holigichuk. The move started in the fall of 1962, and the village was established by mutual help, the people helping each other, and we have since then improved our living conditions about 200% with running water for every home, electric, every home. And we have also made all new homes for the village, though we had a little help through the pilot project from Alaska State Housing. We've been able to borrow money, and now everybody is paying back the money on monthly payments. All the people during the move, has not worked anywhere, and but worked in helping each other building a new village of Grayling. We also now have one of the finest airport in this area, and have a graveled road in all the villages. And I think in the future we are planning yet to make more buildings. Are planning this summer to put up city offices for the city of Grayling, and also to putting up 10 more new homes for our younger boys that's available for house now. We plan to maybe help each other if we don't get no help to put 10 more new houses up by next fall. All these things will be done on a mutual help basis, of which Grayling is pretty good in doing all these years. I think I can say, as being on the council ever since Grayling was established, that I'm pretty proud of the people here and what they have accomplished without waiting or asking for help. They have accomplished this by working together and talking things out. And when trouble arises, they have a meeting and hash things out and get the project done. I think all other villages, if they work in sense of a way of cooperation, they would get a lot of things done too. This will be all for the movement upgrading from Holy Gitchuk, unless you have any questions.
Yeah, why did you decide to move?
The move itself has been talked about for 20 years before we moved, but nobody has never actually started the move until in 1962 we finally got together, and we figure looking ahead that we would be better off on the Yukon, because it was getting harder to navigate the Yukon Inoko slough, which was filling up with dirt over the years, and we felt in the next 20 years the silt will get so deep that this slough will be not good to travel in. So the old site of Holy Gitchuk was eroding away, the banks was eroding away pretty fast, and we figure in 10 years the village itself will be cut in half by the river, and there's always a danger of flood in the old village. Here in Grayling, we don't worry about flood. So far we have not got any flood. And also in the old village of Holy Gitchuk, there was no drinking water available. We could never dig a well in that area. These were, and also I guess one of the greatest problem was freighting. Our freight needed to come down from the Nenana by the barge to Holy Cross, and by another barge line up to Holy Gitchuk, and by the time everything got to Holy Gitchuk, our freight costs were running too high. So we all thought, got together and thought it would be better to move the entire village of Holy Gitchuk to Grayling, where freight will be cheaper and running water will be always available. And that and this is what we did, the reason why the move took place in the first.
What is the population of Grayling?
The population of Grayling, according to our native land claim census, is 168 at this time. But there's a lot of people yet in the lower 48 that has moved out there, and probably will be expecting him back within the next 2 or 3 years. The main problem that these village has is we've got to find work for these people that has moved away. If we find work for them here in Grayling, Grayling will grow quite a bit by bringing our young people back into the community. The problem with Grayling is what I kind of referred to as brain drainage. All our young people go to high school and they don't come back to the village to help run the village. They'll get lost down in Chicago or California. And actually the village has lost another high school graduate. We hope this trend don't go on. We need these younger people more back since the land claim has passed. We need the education that they've learned to try to make Grayling a better place in the future.
What are the ways that a person can support themselves in Grayling?
Well, at the present time, the only way people support themselves is by trapping and by seasonal work. We have been talking quite extensively in the council itself that as soon as we're able to get any money out of land claim, we are going to try to start a factory, a furniture factory. It's one of the great projects that we have in mind. We'd like to build a factory where we have all the resources here. And if we did build a factory like this, it would make a lot of work for our people. And also, with the right kind of counseling and in the future, people will always have an income and wouldn't have to depend on what they're depending on now, which is very, you know, jobs is getting harder to get every year. And we need to establish something here to draw our people back from other places in the country. I really think if we ever get, or when the money comes in the land claim, things will change quite differently here. We plan to use any amount of money that we can get to invest into business. One is the furniture factory, and we've also discussed it, other kind of business, but the furniture factory is one that stands out pretty strong at this time.
What is the main language spoken here?
The main language spoken in the village is the Athabascan language. I guess, like all other languages, the Athabascan language is different dialect in every village. Shagluka, which is 18 miles away than we have, and Caltag, which is 120 miles away from us, has also a slightly different dialect. And Grayling is have a dialect as of its own. So, but they're all Athabascan language. It's just a different, little different in every village, seems like.
Do most of the people in town speak the language?
No, the language itself is in very troubled time now. The younger people is not speaking their language at all. People in my age is speaking it, but not as much as we should speak it. I'd like to see a program in the village that by next year we hope have a village teacher that would teach our younger kids the native language, to bring back the native language among our people. I think it's a great thing to start this program as soon as we can, but I'm hoping by next fall we might be able to do something about it.
Would you like to make any kind of summary statement on how you feel toward the future of Grayling?
Yeah, the future of Grayling has always been in our mind. We three of us now, myself, Henry Deacon, and Walter Millell, who is not in the village. I guess I can say these are the people that is responsible for the movement of Grayling. And our projecting at the first time was that Grayling will someday become a pretty big village, but our answer in this lies in the population itself. I think in the future Grayling has a great future, but the time now is the crucial point in what Grayling is to be in the future. And then any money is the problem here. If we can get any amount of money we can develop Grayling into, so other people from other villages will move into Grayling, making Grayling a bigger village than it is now. We already have application from other villages, but we have a ruling in the village that any application that anybody that wants to move into Grayling has to apply to the Grayling Council, and upon approval of the Grayling Council, they could move into Grayling, and we have 50 lots within the village that the council can assign to people if they are okay to move into the village. So I hope in the future that we also plan to improve Grayling one project a year is what we try to do now because of the hard time we're getting of getting any type of help. You know. We try to work together. We've got 100 logs on the bank. What I said earlier that we're going to build city offices this summer. Next year we plan to build probably a gymnasium for our kids, and the year after that it'll probably be something else. And if any amount of money come in and if we get the right kind of help, we plan to go into a factory or something of that nature. last week on April 7th, village of Grayling invited the village of Shaglik over for an annual mass dance, which is an Indian dance. This dance between Shaglik and Grayling has been a tradition for ever since I remember, and of course ever since our people was here, I guess. Years ago, these type of dances was given to Caltag, Nolato, Holy Cross, Anvik, but in the later years, all the singers and the dancing in the other villages has vanished, and so far Shaglik and Grayling are the only two villages in this area that's still upholding this old tradition among our people. Shaglik called us over this past winter also, I think in the month of, when was that?
January.
Month of January, invited the village of Grayling over to Shaglik, and they gave us 2 days of dancing, and inviting each other for tea and coffee. And so this April 7th, we've invited Shaglik over to Grayling, paying them back of dancing and eating, and of course giving them what they call a patlach, giving them payment for coming over. I think it's sad to say that Grayling and Shaglik is it wouldn't be too many years now that this tradition will end too, because of the people that singing these songs are getting fewer and fewer. In fact, Grayling has only about 4 people now left that know these songs and sing. Shaglik is practically in the same boat. They only got 3 or 4 people too that know and sing these old Indian songs that they used to dance the mass dance with. So this tradition is coming to an end. And it's sad to say that there is no younger people taking up the learning of these old songs.
Why is it called a mask dance?
Well, it's called a mask dance because the people carved masks of the different type of dances. Let's say we have the dance of the crow. We carved a mask resembling the crow. And we have the dance about the fox, and of course we carved the mask resembling the fox, and other dances that we do, we have a mask for every song. Like the crane dance, we have the mask of the crane, and so forth.
Do the dancers wear the masks?
Yes, the dancers do wear the mask. Every dance is centered around on a story that has been brought down among our people for ages. Among our people, there has been no written language, or the language has never been written. So the way they have brought these stories down to the younger generation is by storytelling and by songs that that has been brought down from generation to generation. And these dances resembles a story, or tells a story in itself, you know.
Are certain people chosen to dance certain dances?
Yes, when we have dances, certain people are chosen, depending on how good they understand the song, and then can dance the particular dance. But we do give out dances to certain people according to what they know about the song.
May both men and women dance?
Yes, the men dance, and then the women dance right along with them in some dances, but it's always open to the women to whenever they want to.
But mostly the men are the principal dancers with the masks?
Yes, the men are the only ones that use the mask. The women just dance along with the men without masks.
Does the dancing precede, or does it follow the potlatching?
The dancing, well, the dancing is right along with the potlatch. On the particular kind of invitation we sent to Shagluk, we danced six dances, and during the seventh dance, we all go out and bring in a different type of fish or crackers. Not crackers, but ice cream. And then we have a sort of patlatch right in the middle of the dance. And then after the patlatch, that little patlatch is over, then we dance another eight songs. Then after the seventh dance,